not just for your show.
Show?
Hello? I'm interviewing myself. Wayne on Wayne.
Hi, Wayne, can you hear us?
Unfortunately, yes.
Be the bomb.
G'day everybody, welcome to episode 246 of Not The Footy Show. I'm Warwick Nicholson, that's Rob Cox. Colonel Sanders, that's who's in the seat tonight. He's had some dirty bird for dinner on the end of a work shoot. And you were just telling me off air there, Cocksmith, that as excited as you are for the prelim finals this weekend, South Manly, Melbourne, Penrith, you are dirty on the dirty bird. Why are you dirty on the dirty bird?
Oh, mate, I had the wicked wings on the way home. And, you know, thinking that I'm an awesome multitasker, you know, I thought I'd drive at the same time.
Sir, we've never gone that fast before. I don't know if the ship can take it.
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken? Prepare ship!
And the bloody crumbs went everywhere. It just annoys me. I try to keep my car clean and I got out at home and I did one of those manoeuvres where you get out all in one hit because I had crumbs all over me. So I am filthy at the dirty bird, but I'm also filthy at my thinking that I was a lot better than I was, thought that I wouldn't have to spill it everywhere, and I did spill it. So
it's not an easy task, the old wicked wings while you're driving, that's for sure. I find delicate.
I didn't have any lunch.
Okay, so you're really hungry.
I had no lunch, so all I had was a bowl of cereal before I left home, and then I went and shot for 10 hours, and I just had to get something. So
I put a nice corned beef in the pot at about 2:30 and had it at 6 o'clock and it was absolutely divine. So mate, you know, we're getting really cultured here on Not The Footy Show because you're hearing about our dinners 2 weeks in a row. But you do want to hear hopefully about some prelim finals predictions. As we said, Friday night, which is tomorrow night, we're recording this on Thursday night, South take on Manly and then Penrith. We get the Melbourne Storm and another prelim on the Saturday afternoon. Cocksmith, we gave a little bit of a dive into obviously the games last week or on Tuesday or Monday or whenever we did the podcast last. But I think it's time just to put our lack of reputations on the line and tell people what's going to happen. Where we're thinking now, we've seen the teams, no real shocks. There is one change from Manly that classic Desmond does his captain's run press of the day and says, oh, people said, oh, is Brad Parker in doubt? He said, no, he's fine. He'll be sweet. He's playing for sure. And then about 2 hours later, he's been ruled out with a broken hand. So classic Desmond. Moses Suli comes in for him. And the only other change basically is that Curtis Sirin runs out of their squad. South 1-19. Where are you thinking in regards to this game right now, Coxman? You've had a few days to think about it. Do you see a clear favourite?
I don't, you know, like I actually think this one's harder to pick than the next one, to be perfectly honest. I looked at the teams on paper and I was just looking. I mean, there's certain areas that I like Manly better, then there's certain areas where I like South better. I feel that Souths are going to win this game and be the first team into the 2021 grand final. But I know I'm going to sound like I'm sitting on the fence, but I wouldn't be surprised if it went the other way. And I think it just depends on what type of game they play. And I said this the other night. If Souths let Manly bully them a little bit, I think Manly can win it.
Yeah.
But if Souths lay it down like they did against Penrith the other week in the first week of the finals and they create that platform in the middle, Manly can't win even on the back of Tommy if their forwards aren't going forward. Souths are the form team in the comp for the last, I think it's 6 or 7 weeks. They've scored more points than anyone else and they've won more games. So I'd say Souths, but it just depends on the type of game. What are you thinking? Tell me what your thoughts are.
Souths, you know, I'm a huge advocate for throwing the ball around, playing attacking footy. I reckon this game is almost the opposite. If South Sydney get into a slugfest with Manly, they win. If South Sydney go to the track meet option, I think the lack of Latrell and the presence of DC and Tommy, and then those combination players that Manly have around them, the Forums and the Schusters and even the Jake Trbojevic sort of group, then I don't think it ends well for South. I just think you've got to go, you've got to go up the middle, and you've got to make the Manly forwards beat you, which I don't have full confidence in if I'm a Manly fan.
Yeah, see, I'm probably looking at it a little differently to you. I'm looking at it like, you know, what we saw last week from Manly, when they had that room to move and when they weren't really pounded with line speed by the Roosters, you know, DC had all the time in the world.
Yeah.
So it seemed anyway, and he created space created some space for Tommy to do his business on both sides of the ruck actually last week. So in one way, I agree with you. The other way, I don't know. I think that Souths are going to have to really own the middle in the first 20 minutes, and then they can play some footy. We know that Manly's forwards are a pretty tough pack. They aren't going to offer too many surprises, but what they do lack in that kind of, Schuster and Jake are ball players, but the rest of them are sluggers, you know. It's so hard for me to pick this game because, I mean, it's one of those games where I need to see the first 10 minutes to know who's going to win.
Yeah.
If I could watch the first 10 minutes, even if it was nil all.
I'm sure a lot of punters would love to have that little insight.
Yeah. Even if it was nil all after 10, I could probably tell you who's going to win it. I'm really looking forward to it, though. It's going to be – I really think it's going to be a close game. I'm not sure that it's going to be a big scorer. Or at least if it is a big scorer, I think they'll go together. You know, I think they'll be scoring together. I'm looking forward to that one.
The fascinating part about Parker being out and Sully coming in is, do they play Sully on the left, which they probably have to because Morgan Harper's been on the right for so long. But I don't know, if you're South, are you hoping that Sully plays on the right? Because that gives you the left edge up against Moses Sully, as opposed to Morgan Harper, who didn't have a great first week of the finals, but played quite well last week. I guess, does Sully coming in change where you attack with your South, or do you just keep going left regardless of whether he's on the left or the right?
Look, South's left side in attack is so dangerous that I think that they've got to really, keep playing the hand that's fed them pretty well up to now. And I reckon Sully will play on Manly's left side attack, given that's where we've seen him play mostly this year when he has played. I think he's going to replace Parker on the left.
No late Desmond switcheroo.
Who knows? Who knows with the mad professor? You don't know. He might play in the back row. Who knows?
It's a strange one. We said it last on Sunday's pod, but I don't really mind who gets through in regards to they're going to produce an entertaining opposition to whoever gets through the other prelim. And I like that fact. But I'm still sticking with South. I actually think they might... I've only got a 4-point difference in the actual game, but I think they might have a significant lead going into the last 10. So I'm going with South 26-22. I'm going for a fairly high-scoring game here. They're back at Suncorp. The humidity is not going to be the same as what they had the issue at Mackay. I just feel like South will dominate the middle in that first half. 18 points to 6, something like that at halftime. And then I have a feeling that Manly's forwards aren't going to be able to free the game up. That it might be a late flurry from Manly, but I feel like South, you know, the scoreline for me is going to be something like 26-12 for most of the back end of the second half, and then maybe a late trial two to Manly. But it's just where I feel right now. I think South, TAFE taken an opportunity at fullback. We all thought, well, I thought you didn't, but I thought Benji needed to come in and start. I was very interested in the way that Benji played at lock in that first qualifier rather than into this halves. And Blake TAFE, it's a huge opportunity for him to put his foot down for a starting spot next year, not fullback, but in the halves. He might be a bit of a difference maker if he can really chime in on that left side, which I saw enough of last week to say he's been practicing every second of every minute of every day to make that left side sing these last 2 weeks.
I've been impressed with him since I saw him, since the first time I saw him play, which was up at Newcastle. I don't know if that was his debut. I can't remember, but I was at that game he's an impressive player. And, you know, they've obviously known he was coming through given their signings and their non-signings this year going into next year. So I'm excited about him. I think he's a good, very, very good player. I don't think it's going to be – I think it's going to be a try, isn't it? I think it's going to be 18-12.
18-10. Gotcha. 18-12 or 12? Oh, 10. We'll come back to this.
I'll go 18-12. Say 18-12. They're both pretty good kickers. I don't know there's going to be that much in it. But, you know, like I say, it's a fascinating matchup because I can't say that Manly's forwards are completely worse than South's. And I can't say that their backs are better than South's or vice versa. There's little points here and there, you know, like obviously South's are very strong in the hooking role.
Well, I was about to say that. You know, I actually think man of the match will be D Cook. I think he'll give in Manly's middles a bit of a run around on the weekend. I really do.
Well, you know, I think if South win, Cook and Reynolds will probably be very strong as per usual. And I think if Manly win, then it's either going to be DCE or Turbo.
Indeed. So,
Well,
let's go to the next game. Let's make this one relatively quick. Melbourne-Penrith. Melbourne, it's full strength. It's very much full strength. There's no doubts that Akar's playing. Munster's fine. Nobody's suspended. It's going to be a very, very strong Melbourne side. There was an interesting thing during the week where Justin Olam apparently wasn't in the best centres, according to the Dally M judges. Now, it must be noted that the Dally M judges, I believe, for the positional awards, judge it at the end of the season. They don't judge it all based on total points. So I would say that whoever's had a good last 6 weeks has somehow got ahead of Olam in their nomination forms, which I believe is not just the NRL. I think News Limited is involved on that front. So NRL had to apologise, but he's been invited. I actually think this is where, if you're Penrith, you are going after Deluxe. We've both said in the past that Melbourne's left edge, we think, is their weakest defensive edge. And if I'm Penrith, I am going to Stephen Crichton and Momorowski a lot in this game because you can expose that left edge of Olam and Adokar. Adokar coming back from a hammy strain, how much confidence is he going to have that it's not going to go on him again? I just think this is the area, even if Toto's back, that this is the area you hammer your right side. I know it's not their strongest side, but I really think there's an opportunity to expose what I think is a big, big opening in the Melbourne defense to go after, and that's that Olam and Adokar combo.
Yeah, my biggest beef with it is that Momorowski's playing in the centres and Crichton is playing on the wing. Crichton's not going to get enough ball. I think this is going to come back and haunt Coach Cleary, mate. I don't think Momorowski's a better centre than Crichton. I think he might be slightly better in defence than Crichton, but you know, when they're playing next to each other, there's an easy way around that. We've spoken about this for 2 or 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
Crichton should be playing in the centres in attack, and when they hand the ball over to Melbourne, they should switch. Crichton goes to the wing. So it's one position. Look, I don't think Penrith are going to have enough gas to go with them. And I don't think they're going to have enough strike power given that their attack has been very clunky over the last number of weeks. The only way that they can beat Melbourne, mate, is if they skip out to a 12 or 14 point lead and then suffocate them.
Melbourne. Yep.
And hope for mistakes, which
they're the second best team in the comp, but suffocating the play the ball, Penrith, behind Melbourne.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people out there that are saying that they can beat Melbourne, and they certainly can. It's a two horse race, and anything can happen in a two horse race. But if I had to put the house on it, I would say Melbourne by 14.
A score for me? I'm going. You get a score that's 14 points. They crack 30 Melbourne, I guess, is my question to you.
No, I think they just fall short. 28-14.
Done. I'm pretty close. I've got Melbourne 28-20. I have a feeling that, that Cleary will have a big impact on the match. And I think he'll go hard off that, that Melbourne left edge. I just worry about Luai. I worry about Tyro lasting through a game if he starts. They've gone Tyro and May on the bench as the replacement for Mitch Kenny. Again, going with a smaller body to play that I don't really get it kind of role from Penrith in the middle 30 of the match. Put another big body on your bench. You've got to count see, what Melbourne have got. You see, they've got a lot of big fellas coming off that production line.
Yeah. There's a few things about Penrith. I mean, there's been a few, and I really hope I get egg on my face here. I hope that Cleary Senior, Ivan, pulls the rabbit out of the hat. But I tell you, Luai hasn't been seen off a nobby since State of Origin. Yeah. He really hasn't.
Yeah.
I know that he tried. Well, he filled in for Nathan, which is a different kind of a game, and you know maybe that affected him in some way. He did have an injury, a knee injury,
but he came back pretty quick from.
But I'll tell you, if Luai doesn't fire in the first 30, I'd be really, really tempted to hook him, stick Burton at six, stick Crichton in the left center, and stick May on the right wing. I know that sounds weird. That's a big shakeup, but I think they need their attacking. They need their attack to something.
Cleary needs to be touched. I mean, he touches the ball a lot anyway, but it needs to all go through him. Because at the moment, as you say, Luai just not getting it done and not looking likely. That's probably the biggest thing. He's not looking likely even when he gets the ball.
He doesn't even look all that excited at the moment. He looks like he's tired. He looks like he's, you know, that cheeky.
Deer in the headlights at the moment, to be honest. That's what I see with Luai. I reckon he's doubting himself.
I'm not sure, but like I say, I really hope they pull the rabbit out of the hat. I can't see it happening against Melbourne. They're a big game team. They turn up for big games. Coach Bellamy doesn't normally get rubbed out in preliminary finals. I'm not sure if he's even lost one. I don't know the history of that.
He lost one to the Roosters in 2019.
That's right. He doesn't lose many. So, yeah, it's... unfortunately, I think this will be the end of the road for the Panthers, mate. I think for 2021.
Let's just quickly break one thing down about Melbourne. Who's not in form for Melbourne? Maybe the left edge because they haven't played a lot together, like because Adekar's been injured maybe. I don't know. But everybody else is just...
Yeah.
At the top of their game.
Adekar's probably, you know, but he... Again, it doesn't really matter if he's out of form as long as he can catch the ball and finish a play. And we know he knows how to do that. He's scored three times, a couple of times this year. So, you know, he's just got to finish the plays. Their halves are in touch. Both of their hookers are in touch.
Pappenhausen's playing like Pappenhausen.
Just in the last few weeks, he's come back and
he's
on fire. So, you know, I hope I'm wrong. I hope
question of it's not like so idiot. Much we don't like Penrith, it's just we really like Melbourne. That's like in terms of where they're at. Melbourne just look the goods and Brandon Smith's playing, he'll have a bit of a bruise on his cheek, but apparently he'll be fine. So yeah, 28-20 for me, 28-14 for you. Any last comments?
Yeah. Mate, I want it to be known. I really like Penrith. I want Penrith to win this game, you know. It's just that it's not what I think is going to happen. You know, so good luck to them both.
Indeed. So they'll be decided by Saturday night.
Not the footy show. I love the smell of
the finals
in the morning.
Something else that was decided this week was the future of Michael Maguire. He has staved off execution, regardless of what Tamas and Karyanis and the like have all said in the last few days. Oh, he's gone. They have an executive board meeting. I did find it interesting to watch Gus Gould sit there on the panel with Tamas on 100% Footy, which I actually watched for the first time in full this year, I think it was, the other night, and somehow hold a straight face when Tamas was giving the mail about Maguire. Because Gus has already said he takes phone calls from him. He would have known what was going on. And... the decision was made by the chairman and the board and the CEO that, that Madge will last at least another year. I did find that interesting that he has a two-year contract and they only really committed to next season in the release. But right now, if you're Michael Maguire, are you a happy camper or are you just thinking another 12 months of this? Oh.
Look, if I was Madge, I wouldn't be happy. I wouldn't be impressed at all. I got 2 years to run and they're talking about firing me this year and bringing in a rookie coach.
Yeah.
Mate.
Serrato, yeah.
There are problems at the Tigers that have nothing to do with what's going on the field.
Whoa. They're going tremendously off the field, Cocksmith. Have you not been reading the tea leaves or the headlines or Pasco?
Or the propaganda.
Oh.
Mate, I really hope that the is he the chairman? Hadja Pantelis, is he the chairman?
Yeah.
I really hope that he you know, he's obviously a brutally smart individual.
Mm.
But I hope he takes the blinkers off and has a look around and canvasses opinion, not just listens to what's being fed to him, but absolutely gets out there and starts to sniff around the office, sniff around whoever else is on the board, sniff around the CEO's chair, maybe not too close to the CEO's chair. And brings Tim Sheens in to have a good look around. And
that's his ally. That's his ally for next season, T. Sheens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think Madge is the problem, mate. I think there's other problems there. Obviously, they're recruiting, and Ivan didn't leave him any favours either when he recruited people on double and triple the pay they should have been paid. I mean, you know, we could go through each one of them, but I mean, the three standouts for me are Packer, Mbai, and Reynolds. You know, all got paid double what they're worth. Simple. A good mate of mine, who knows a lot about rugby league and has been involved in rugby league for a long time. And I don't just mean as a fan.
Yeah.
He sent me a message when they signed Reynolds on $850 a year, and he said, "Give me a call when you can." And I did, and we spoke. He said, "I cannot believe this." He said, "The bloke's not worth $400, and they're paying him $850."
Yeah.
I'm not having a go at Reynolds. Good on him. Good on him for making that money.
And his agent for convincing them that that's what he could still be paid.
If you can get it, good on you. Same as Packer, you know, and Mbai. Mbai's a magician, you know. But anyway, I mean, fair play to those players and good on them for making money and looking after their future and all the rest of it. But the club should never, ever have paid it because it was way overs. And maybe that's the only way they got them to the club. But I think Gus is right. They have to rebuild the juniors. They have to make players want to go there, not have to pay them overs to get them there. So it could be a while that they're going to rebuild, but I don't know if there'd be a better coach than Madge to do it. He's a taskmaster.
Right. I just had a thought. Tim Sheens will obviously be now coaching director as well as head of football. So the Pasco power domination is going to get, it's going to get impacted. It just is. That's the nature of the beast with that kind of role.
For sure.
Madge clearly just wants to focus on the football and the development, which is fine. Do you reckon there's a huge PR positive move that they could make if you're the Tigers? Is if Tim Sheens gets on the phone to one B Marshall and says, come join the staff next year. Come develop. Come work with the systems coming through. Come work with our current players. Do you reckon that is, A, a good idea, but B, is a master stroke in terms of PR? Because I think it fits a lot better than the R. Farrah thing that happened this year, which is a good thing for players. You could hear that through the Tiger Town stuff. But the goodwill that comes with Benji and the goodwill with the fans, I just think it's a win-win. And, you know, if worst comes to worst, you need a halfback halfway through the year. Have a run, Benji.
I think they could do a lot worse and get Benji back. And I mean, look, it's known that he's only on just over the minimum wage. I think they should give him a couple of hundred grand to go there and to be, you know, an ambassador as well as be in the coaching system. And if need be, stick him in the top 30 or whatever the numbers are these days and let him play a few games. It'd be fantastic for Benji to go back there. I don't know if he wants to. I don't know if there was too much blood spilt, bad blood spilt.
This is why I think Tim Sheens might be the opening in regards
to this. He could be the olive branch that you know, but I also think having Tim Sheens there, Tim ain't no fool, and he loves football. He's going to want that team to succeed. So, yeah, I think that's the beginning. Tim Sheens is the beginning. Let's see what steps they take to, you know, to right the ship, because I think they will, but it's not going to, you know, I'm not saying they're not going to be in the finals next year, but I doubt they will be, probably for the next couple of years. They need to get them playing consistent good football and not winning 8 games a year. They need to win more than 8 games a year.
They do. As a couple other bits of news we need to quickly just knock off before we finish up this podcast. Jamal Fogarty apparently has been sounded out by the Raiders to fill that rather gaping hole at halfback. In the space of last day, he was going to Canberra. He secured a release, and then the Titans have backpedaled apparently and said, we're not going to release him. And I'm just waiting for the word yet to be in every one of those releases. I had a chat with a few people today, and it's a pretty good fit for Canberra. He plays right side, kicks goals, good kicking game, probably on a big contract with the Titans, given he just re-upped. But there was a bit of something thrown out today, which I guess is the bit that I want to cover off. It's, yes, that would be a good signing for Canberra, but the chat now is, does Canberra trade the Titans' Josh Hodgson and get Jamal Fogarty back? Now, given where the Titans are after this season, and they've got a young Toby Sexton coming through and no real standout at hooker, Josh Hodgson for 1 year, is that actually a pretty good pickup, given you can't play Fogarty if you want to play Sexton?
So you're saying that Hodgson goes to the Titans?
Yep.
Do you think Canberra are a better team without Hodgson?
Now they are. They weren't before. He was one of our best signings ever. He was fantastic for us. But last year...
You think he's done?
I just don't think he fits the team as well as Tom Starling does in the way that I hope that Ricky wants the team to play now.
Just a devil's advocate, if Tom Starling goes down injured, who have you got?
We'll find someone.
Who's Canberra?
Right. I don't know if there's any other body that's... I can't think of someone right now, but... Yeah, they'd find somewhere. Yeah, you'd find a retread somewhere if you had to.
I don't know. I don't know if letting Hodgson go is the answer. I think I know that every player has their date, you know, and crass term, but they're used by a date in a club, just like coaches do. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure getting rid of Josh Hodgson is the answer. I think. If they won't release Jamal Fogarty without getting a Josh Hodgson in return, I say, you know, stick it up your jacksie. I don't think what's the point of that? You're losing.
The point here is cap.
If you're adding
Fogarty on your cap and you can get rid of Hodgson's cap, not the player but the cap that he'd be on.
Yeah, I know.
He'd be on big coin because it's the back end of a long term deal. It makes sense as a Canberra fan looking at it. I also go, are we about to contend next year? Not in the top four. If we got Fogarty and got rid of Hodgson, and you know, what does that mean for the likes of Whiten? Does it take, I don't know, not that he rose to the occasion this year at all, but is it a good thing for him to have a Fogarty there more than a Hodgson dominating our dummy half? It's those questions that come up. And I guess the stories are going to be around Canberra and a halfback, because we all know that the answer is not S. Williams and it's not M. Frawley. So something's going to happen in the next couple of months.
What's happening with Ash Taylor?
Any still available. I know they said that the Warriors had a chat with him. And then the other one is Harris DeVita, apparently, is allowed to walk if he can find a deal somewhere, they say. If I had a pick of all of them as a Canberra fan, it's Fogarty without a hesitation. And they also let Ryan James go to Brisbane today. And Tinamous Louis will not be re-signed. One last bit of information we need to just tick off the list. Billy Slater apparently is signed as Queensland coach for 2 years, instantly installed as the favourite for the Roy Lewis medal for the next 2 seasons as well. He'll actually pick the Browns, so good Good on him. Get on right now if you can get a market from any of the betting companies, because Billiam is a sure thing. 2 years. Do you find that an interesting number, Cocksmith?
I do. I wonder if if we're not hearing about options or
exit clauses after 12 months.
No, I don't think they would do that just out of respect to Billy. I think he would have to lose two series and go out. I don't even know if he'd go out the back door then. They'd probably give him three, maybe. Look, I think it's a good fit, mate. Obviously, he's passionate. He's a ex-Queensland great player. I did see a photograph the other day with he and Cam Smith together. Is he going to be chief advisor, or what's he going to be?
We don't. It's nothing. There's nothing official yet. It's just been reported by the Courier Mail that he signed a 2-year deal.
Yeah. Well, I guess if Cam Smith's part of the coaching staff, then Cooper Cronk won't be. Although I did notice that Cooper Cronk is now on the board of QRL.
He gets around old Cooper. Knows how to find a gig, that's for sure. I still find it hilarious that he ousted poor old Brian Fletcher from the Mae Johns podcast. That one. Oh, that was a knife in the back for poor old Fletch. That's the podcast, everybody, episode 246. There are two more topics we will push till Sunday and we reconvene, hopefully, to talk about the prelims and the results. At the moment, we've got a Melbourne-South Grand Final for you. The two ones are Dellium Knight going to two nights. What a raging success that was. And the other one being the announcement tonight that or today that the Brisbane expansion will be happening in 2023, according to those that know up there in Brisbane. And something to leave you with in terms of to think about for the next few days before we discuss it in more detail, it's the just absolute absence of any desire from the NRL to source an 18th team from anywhere else. I don't understand how that has been completely and utterly not even part of the conversation to get us to 18 teams. It's a really strange way of saying let's expand without it sounding just like a complete and utter cash grab.
Yeah, look, interestingly, I heard I read a story about Cameron Munster saying that he thinks that it should be not expand, but to transfer a Sydney team into the Brisbane market, into the Brisbane area. And, you know, Cameron's a bit of a lateral thinker. But see, I was always under the impression that Cameron Munster could well and has been touted as possibly the inaugural captain of the new Queensland team or the new.
He's never ruled it out. Yep.
He hasn't ruled it out, but he's also talking it down in as much as saying, hey, a Sydney team should go up there. We shouldn't be bringing a new team into the market. So a bit of a weird one that on that story, but I don't think he's far off the mark. If we want to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic, then rather than bringing a new deck chair in, I think we should just possibly shift someone out of Sydney and up there. And I know that no one wants their team to go, but you know, there's only probably two likelies.
Because next podcast will bring those two likelies up. There's some forward sizzle for probably Sunday. I've been Warwick Nicholson. That's been Rob Cox. I think you got half an hour tonight. Congratulations, people. You got 20 minutes more than me planned. Go have a nice second dinner and clear the dirty bird out of your system, Coxsmith. No?
Big bowl of ice cream. I won't be doing that. No, none of that, mate. I'm going to have a big glass of water, have a nice hot shower and go to bed.
There you go. It's just got sexy time here on the Footy Show. Careful. Okay, Colonel Sanders, we'll speak to you next time. Talk to you soon, everybody, on the Footy Show. Take us.
Catch you later, mate. Pepsi.
Not the Footy Show.
Sir, we've never gone that fast before. I don't know if the ship can take us.
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken? Prepare ship!
Not the Footy Show.
We're in a prelim. That's where we're at. Against the reigning premiers. I mean, where else would you rather be?
It's people's escape. It's people's relaxation. And we need to do everything in order to continue that great tradition of
Not the Footy Show.
Birthday boy.
Pepsi.